President Trump's campaign manager is predicting a victory for the president in 2020 and maybe future victories for Trump's family. The AP reports that at the convention of Republican delegates in Indian Wells, California this past weekend, Brad Parscale told reporters that the Trump family dynasty will last for decades, which many interpreted it as at least one of his children will follow him into the Oval Office. And in this month's cover story of The Atlantic, McKay Coppins says the money has moved from Ivanka to Don Jr. McKay Coppins joins us now. Welcome.
Thanks for having me.
Okay, we should say lots of palace intrigue here, lots of quotes from unnamed former White House and Trump aides, and lots of denials from the Trump White House, but also reporting that people can see with their own eyes about Ivanka and Don Jr. So let's talk first about this concept. As you write, it's a concept of dynasties and one that's hard to control. The Kennedys were a dynasty with much tragedy, no second president. The Bushes were a dynasty and didn't get the scion, you know, George H.W. Bush wanted. So talk a little bit about that.
Yeah, the thing about political dynasties is that the patriarch of the dynasty doesn't always have the control over who succeeds him. In the case of the Bushes, for example, you had Jeb as the heir apparent. He was kind of the smart one, the well-behaved one, the one that George H.W. saw as his successor. But George W. kind of shocked everyone by beating him to the White House. And what you're seeing now with the Trumps is that President Trump has always made it very clear that Ivanka is his favorite. And when the family business was in real estate and television and media, Ivanka was clearly being groomed to be the next face of the Trump empire. But what happened is on Election Day in 2016, the family business changed. And now it's about politics. And in the political realm, Don Jr. has sort of emerged as this MAGA hero, where he's building his own grassroots fan base while Ivanka is toiling away in the White House and finding herself, I think, a little out of her depth.
Well, and let's explain how startling that is. You say President Trump has made no bones about the fact that she's his favorite. And it was because she was beautiful, buttoned up, presented herself beautifully. Mm-hmm. Don Jr. was kind of, you know, relegated to the sidelines in the way you describe it. His father was kind of frustrated with him.
Yeah, and this goes back to even his childhood. When Donald Trump had that very high-profile divorce with their mother, Ivana, Ivanka got closer to her father, and Don kind of pushed him away. In the years that followed, Don developed a kind of reputation within the family for breaking from expectations and not always being quick to do what his father wanted from him. So Trump always saw Ivanka as somebody who was good at generating positive coverage for him, for his company, and most importantly, was willing to kind of do what her father wanted her to do.
Well, and so bring us back. You mentioned election night. The Trump family and friends were so sure that he was going to lose that they already started plans for a Trump television channel. They had to quickly write the speech he was going to give. His aide, Steve Miller, started to write it, and it was too revengeful. And so the children took over and wrote the president's speech. Ivanka went on to be considered kind of the Trump whisperer. There's one story that you tell of how she guided her father through an issue that involved the vice president, Pence.
Right. Early in Trump's presidency, a number of White House officials began drafting an executive order aimed at protecting religious conservatives. This was a big part of his campaign promise and especially important to kind of conservative evangelicals. And what happened is as a draft began circulating, Ivanka realized that it would be viewed as anti-LGBT, which was kind of off-brand for her. And so she went to work very quietly, but very forcefully lobbying her father not to sign that draft order. She even recruited, I'm told, the gay CEO of Apple, Tim Cook, to personally lobby Trump. In the end, her efforts worked. I write about a scene in the president's private study where he was discussing this executive order with a number of advisors, and Vice President Pence was kind of making the case for the executive order, and Donald Trump finally snapped at him and put him back in his place, and it was clear to everybody in that room that Ivanka had won.
Well, she won in that moment and in many others. And then you go on to detail how the president actually became frustrated with her and her husband, Jared Kushner, calling them New York liberals. She fell from favor.
What I'm told is that Trump grew tired of the incessant lobbying. They were certainly more moderate. And a lot of the things that they were advising him to do were just out of step with Trump's base. And I'm told one of the kind of breaking points was when they were lobbying him to change his position on withdrawing from the Paris Climate Accords. And when he did finally withdraw from those climate accords, it's sort of tarnished the idea that Ivanka was this Trump whisperer. And it kind of revealed the extent to which her influence in the White House and on her father was waning.
Well, meanwhile, there's Don Jr., who had been, by your accounts and others, we should say, kind of seething on the sidelines, who got caught up in, as you write, the fiasco in the Trump Tower when he was told that there were some Russians that had some dirt on Hillary Clinton and he organized the meeting. You write that watching cable news coverage of the fiasco from the West Wing, Trump shook his head, said with a sigh, "He's not the sharpest knife in the drawer." But then Don Jr. grabbed his MAGA hat and started traveling the country. He became the person who was most welcome at rallies of Republicans, divorced from his wife, started dating the Fox News figure, Kimberly Guilfoyle, and became a superstar out in the hustings.
That's right. Don had always struggled to get his father's respect. And because he wasn't really invited to join the president in the White House or in the administration, and was kind of on the outside looking in, he figured the best way to be in the action was to go out on the campaign trail. And what he found was that he was actually pretty good at campaigning. He connected with Trump's base in a way that Ivanka and Jared certainly never have. He talked about hunting and fishing. He's an avid outdoorsman. And most importantly, he kind of came to mimic his father's style. It's almost like he's practiced his father's mannerisms in the mirror. He makes this similarly transgressive, kind of outrageous comments and jokes that rile up the MAGA crowds. And he's really become something of a right-wing superstar, while Ivanka has been inside the White House doing her thing and away from the spotlight to a large extent.
Well, and you report that North Dakota Senator Kevin Cramer told you, "I could very easily see him entering politics." There was a poll taken privately in Montana that showed that 75% of the state's Republicans viewed him favorably. He's thinking of running somewhere in the Mountain West where his love of guns and hunting will be good for him. Has the president shifted on this as well, or is he watching in horror as the child he hadn't thought might succeed him may?
You know, I tell a story about a family gathering where there was a Republican senator present who heard the president asking Don Jr. about whether he was using the Trump plane, kind of giving him a hard time. And this Republican senator interjected and said, "You know, without Don's work in the 2018 midterms, we might not have kept the majority of the Senate." Mm-hmm. And Trump seemed pleased by that. Mm-hmm. From what I've heard, Ivanka's still the favorite, but he recognizes Don as a useful tool, certainly in the reelection campaign. It was notable that in the president's reelection campaign, Don was there on the stage warming up the crowd in advance of the president's speech while Ivanka and Jared sat in the audience and watched.
Well, and here is Don Jr. at another rally in Michigan.
"There is not a single economic metric where we are not better off today than we were just 2 short years ago. Name one. It cannot be done."
So, McKay Coppins, one last thought. You quote from an unnamed source the president saying that his son Don Jr. isn't the sharpest knife in the drawer. There are a lot of metaphorical knives in this White House, a lot of people leaving and flinging them in the backs of those they've left behind. How confident are you in your reporting of this scenario that you set up, this infighting between President Trump's children and this hope that there will be a successor?
Very confident in the reporting. Obviously, this took a long time. I spent several months working on this story, interviewed dozens of people close to the family, and was aware of the fact that there are different people with different agendas. But it's also true that this is a very sensitive subject, one that a lot of people are wary of going on the record to discuss. And so I think it's an important story to tell.
And again, we add, it's a story that the White House is denying. That's McKay Coppins. His article in The Atlantic is Succession. We'll link you to it at herenow.org. McKay, thank you.
Thank you.
And a note, in videos of Don Jr. at rallies, fans yell out 2024. He gives them the thumbs up.